action takes precedent over the belief. Mm-hmm. Like permission to take action to do the thing even when you don't believe that it's possible. One team member, one of my favourite, she got 3 pay rises in 12 months because she did the work, she made the change, she listened to the advice. We have to create a system where people come and their future can live inside of our container.
Every owner that's integrated that system, the feedback, I'm just going to summarize, it's like game changer.
Yeah, okay.
Huge, massive.
So have you ever felt like your team, like they just don't care, like no matter what you do, they've lost their motivation, their drive, their mojo. And for you, you feel like you've tried everything. They just don't want the money. They don't want the growth. And you're left thinking, like, if only they just cared a little bit more, my business finally would work. I think it's a bit of a lonely place to be because if you've ever felt stuck for a really long time, it's really easy to start believing the problem is them. But what if the real shift actually begins with you? So in this episode, we're going to be talking about extreme ownership, the bold, uncomfortable, and powerful truth that you are both the problem, but you're also the solution. We're going to explore how to rebuild yourself as a salon CEO, ignite the drive back into your team, and become the kind of relentless leader your business actually deserves. Because when your team wants to believe in something bigger, they want to follow someone with vision, with purpose, and that there's a plan for a better future, they actually want that. So if you're ready to stop complaining, start leading, and build a team that's all in, this one's for you. Sound good, Joel?
Sounds so good. I reckon, Riss, as you know, like spending a lot of time coaching owners in the program, one of the things that I've noticed is that some of the salon owners that we serve are killing it. They're owning it. They're leading. They're really making it happen. And we love that for them. But the truth is, some of them are not. And the ones that are not are in real trouble of business failure. And I believe that that comes from a mindset that we would call or refer to as the them and me mindset. Mm-hmm. It's like a separate mindset. So the owner will sometimes or often speak about their team as quite distant or separate from them. You know, like they just don't get it. For example, and I get that, like as a business owner, as someone that has a team, often we as owners, we carry the weight, we carry the responsibility, but we also carry the emotions, like all of the emotions, anxiety, fear, relief, hope that tomorrow will be better, disappointment, frustration, like it's all there in the reality and the world of an owner. And after a while of feeling so bloody down and even terrible for a while, it's really, really easy to project out and start to look at underperformance and go, well, it can't always be me. It must be them sometimes. Sometimes it's got to be them. And it starts to sound like, you know, the team just won't fill in the blank. The team just can't fill in the blank. If only they would, whatever it is at the moment. And I think that if you're in that mindset right now, it's really, really important not to be too consumed by it. You're not right. It's not always them. I'm just going to be real for a moment. You're just out of capacity to consider anything else right now. And so I reckon we need to become conscious of our own overwhelm or the limiting belief that we hold.
Yeah, I agree with that. And I like the frame that you've put that in because I think it's really easy to get to the point where we feel like we give up on the team. Like we're complacent. There's no more in it. Mm. And when we don't know the next step to do or the next direction to take, we can easily, it's easier to give up on the people and say, well, they just don't want it. Mm. They don't want the money or they don't care about it enough. And there's actually nothing I can do about it. They don't want to do things differently because I've tried all of the things. And that's fine. Because you probably have tried all the things that you know.
Mm.
But imagine there's some things that you don't know, that you haven't tried, you just don't know what they are yet. And what inspired this podcast, actually, Joel, was an owner that we're working with at the moment who's just pretty much given up, raised his hands in the air and just said, look, my team don't want it. My team's different. Mm. They don't want the things. I've tried all the things and, you know, they just don't care. And I'm in a small town. And so, you know, I'm just going to, you know, hop in the bath and have a rest, take a break.
Yeah. Work-life balance. You need some more of that. So, yeah, absolutely. And I think as we start to dive into just how difficult it can become, one of the things that emerges for me straight away is the absolute necessity to actually take ownership, and not just general ownership, which is I accept that there's things in my control, but extreme ownership. And if you want a reference to extreme ownership, Jocko Willink wrote a book on this very topic. But let me summarize it for you. Extreme ownership is not just taking ownership for the things that you can control. It's actually taking full responsibility for everything, like everything that is in your life. And I think that is a real level up in human maturity and business maturity, to actually go, the cards that I've got right now, the situation and circumstance that I'm in, this is my responsibility. And right now I'm actually willing to own that. All of the hardship, all of the difficulty, all of the staff, all of the team, it's my responsibility.
So I'm always challenged, you know, when I have that, I have a bunch of cards that are outside of my control, and you just have the cards that you have. And the one thing that's always served me really well, and sometimes I forget and I have to re-remember, is that action takes precedent over the belief. Like permission to take action to do the thing even when you don't believe that it's possible.
Yes.
So I don't believe, for example, our lovely friend doesn't believe that his team can do things differently, want it to be different. I've tried all of the things. Mm. And even if you don't believe that it could be different, that in the future they might want life to be different, or in the future they might care about money or whatever it is, then permission to take action to do the things even when you don't believe.
Yeah.
Like just take massive action in disbelief. Because my experience is that as you start to get feedback, and at least we hope some of that feedback is positive, like you'll get some fails because you didn't believe it was going to work anyway, and you'll get some wins. Oh, despite my belief, it worked anyway, and I got a positive, positive experience.
Yes. Yeah.
That is an indicator that this possibly could work. And you just need a couple of good wins under your belt to then start to believe your own stuff.
Yeah.
Like believe the action that you're taking.
So good. I mean, that really is what you've just explained as leadership. You know, in the face of I don't believe, I can't see the possibility, I'm going to take action anyway in a direction, and I will take action until
I see that actually it's possible.
Yeah.
Because I do believe, like, if the person next door to me can do it, take action and do the thing, then why can't I if I did the same action? Because there's nothing fundamentally wrong with me unless I don't take the action. Like if I can do the action, physically can do it, then why can't I? Why shouldn't I do it?
Yes.
It reminds me actually of one of the owners that came to Fiji with us at our recent intensive. And she came to Fiji with a really clear goal that she wanted to sell. She wanted to get out. She wanted her manager to step in. And she's just like, I'm done. And the goal of coming to Fiji is I want to walk away and I want to work out how to do that.
Yeah.
But she had a great salon. She had good numbers. She does about 1.5 mil a year. Just not profitable. Not as profitable as she would at a 1.5 mil business. And so our goal was to help her reframe, because I know really well that actually she's really good at being a business owner. It gives her a lot. It affords her a lot. And she actually loves it. She's just frustrated. So our goal was to just help her see what's possible. If the girl next door can do it, then so can you. And for her, her moment of change of her belief was when she listened to one of the owners that started Salon Mastery program with her. They joined at the same time. Same revenue, but this girl was killing it. She pays herself $225,000 a year as a salary. She has a 15, actually it's more than 15%, but she's trending to do 150K profit for the year, to date, she's trending at that. Like, that's a good return on the business. And she sat there, listened to the story and was like, well, if she can do it, we started at the same time, what is the difference?
Yes, yes.
Maybe I'm just not taking the action to do the things because I don't believe that it's possible. But actually, here is somebody who's doing the thing and getting the result.
And what, it's been a month since Fiji? And if I know who you're talking about, like, there has been a fire lit up under her and it's all happening now. Like, the shift in belief has caused the work to happen at a level that is now producing not only great results, but real high levels of passion and enthusiasm and energy, which I think, like, that's the way to do business. And so often when we think about, geez, if what you're saying is true, Riss, that if I could shift or reframe the way I'm looking at it, that things might get better for me. Sometimes, like, that's not a known path. Like, how do I do that? And that's why we like to say, like, get around people who are playing this sport called business at a higher level, that are compassionate enough to help you out, to say, this is what worked for me, to help you along the path. And at the same time, be a bloody good example and role model of what's possible.
Yeah, for the person coming up behind.
Yeah.
Yeah, I love totally. That. I know that she's winning because not only the end of last month, so the month that she arrived in Fiji, the end of that month, she had the highest revenue and the highest profit ever. So that really means that she came back to the business and in 3 weeks she turned around that month because she decided she was going to prioritize the one thing that was holding her back, and that was prioritizing profit.
Yes.
And so you don't even need to wait.
Yeah.
To get the action. Just take the action.
Just take the action. And on that, if I could, when we, and I'm sure everyone listening's experienced this before, sometimes we're taking the action. Sometimes we've taken us, like, I've done it, Joel.
Doing the thing, Joel.
I'm doing the thing. You said do this, I'm doing it. It's not happening. It hasn't happened yet. It's supposed to be a silver bullet, wasn't it? You're supposed to wave the magic wand and it all. And I think some good language or a brain tattoo for us is to be relentless. Like, business is not for the weak. There's some real peaks, some real troughs and lulls. And in between all of that is you, the CEO.
Hey, it's me again. I just wanted to interrupt and jump in here quickly to say thanks for listening to the podcast. I really appreciate you being here. Just one question though. If you are listening to this episode and thinking, oh my God, this is me, but I'm just not sure what to do, well, don't worry. I've got some strategies for you. The Salon Mastery Program will help you develop and implement 100K team, 100K mindset, strategies and steps designed to help you lead your team to enjoy 100K careers and install the 100K mindset and motivation so you can help build that inside of your team. The systems, the processes to master the 100K day so you can build the $1 million salon. So I want to invite you to join me for a complimentary $1 million strategy call. We'll discuss your business, your role in the business. Let's see if I'm the right person to help you grow your business and your team. Together, we can reach the $1 million mark. All you need to do is click the apply now button in the show notes of this very episode. You're welcome to book a time, a strategy call. We'll have a chat. All right, that's enough for me. Let's get back to the episode.
I think it's important to remember that, you know, it's not going to happen overnight. You know that. I know that. We know that. And that good things do take time. If any of our boardroomers were in this podcast right now, they would use the acronym DTFW, which stands for do the, you can figure it out, work, right? And I think that's an important part of this process. Like, you talk about reframing, taking action, but don't just take action for, you know, a day or a week or even a month. Like, commit to the next 12 months, be relentless, like harness and focus all of your energy on being profitable or successful or elevating your revenue up. Because at the end of the day, it doesn't matter where you are, what industry you're in, doing the work is what creates success. It's what creates results. And ultimately, it's what reinforces the joy that you experience in business. Also, I'd like to say, like, what's the opposite of being relentless? Like, if you are not relentless, I don't know. I reckon you've subscribed to some label that says life's about work-life balance and, you know, not you know, pushing too hard or getting too overwhelmed. Like, you're just right there in the middle of mediocre. And I think stages and phases, time and a place, seasons, absolutely. And maybe right now is the season to be absolutely 100% relentless.
Yeah. This is the season to do the work if you don't have the result that you want.
That's it.
And then when you get the result that you want, then you can fit in the other things that matter. Like, it's never a straight line. It's up and it's down and it's all around the place. And I think permission to just know that this is the life that you chose to be in business.
Mm.
It's not a walk in the park. And for those that want to be successful, you've got to do the work.
Got to do the work. So we've talked about reframing things. And one of the easiest ways to do that is like just take the action. We've also talked about being relentless. If there was one other thing, Riss, what might, could, should it be?
I know this has been something for me, and I recognize it in a lot of owners, and particularly the one that that inspired this podcast, is feeling like, who am I to crack the whip for my team or expect more from my team or want them to do the fucking work? Maybe I should say friggin'. Do the friggin' work. Who are we to want more for our people? And it stops us from, well, I know for me, and I can see this in this owner, it stops us from pushing our people. I don't want, you know, to force them to be salespeople. And if they don't want it, then who am I to, you know, we can't control other people's motivation, which is true. But what if we could reimagine our purpose as a CEO, as a business owner? Yeah. Imagine that you could be the one that made the change in people's lives. And what I mean by that is, several times in my career as an employer, I have witnessed people enjoy better success at work, at AKA promotion, get paid more, and then do amazing things with their lives. I remember one owner, one team member, one of my favorites. She got 3 pay rises in 12 months because she did the work, she made the change, she listened to the advice, 3 pay rises in 12 months. And her and her husband walked past a new house as they were just taking the dog for a walk, brand new house, only just being finished being built. And they decided to buy it.
So good.
And I'm like, that's a proud moment for me because I was a part of their life choices.
Yes.
And they got to make good life choices. Like, what if my purpose in life is actually to help other people have better lives? Like, that's a better purpose than just make people
whatever
upgrade more clients.
Yeah. You know? This reminds me, Riss, we were sitting in Fiji and I was pushing people. Like, what's it really about? Like, why be more profitable? Why elevate your revenue? Why be leaner and meaner as a business? And John, he interrupted me in my flow, and I'm so glad he did. And he shared with the whole room his vision and the context for everything that they do, all the hard conversations, all the encouragement, all of this, everything is moving towards this vision, is unlocking the potential of every team member that he's got. And I was just like, I want to work for him, you know?
That's right.
So good.
So permission to think bigger, you know, want more for your people because you get more for yourself at the same time.
Yeah.
So I think there's a couple of key things, because the business that we've chosen to be in, the engine of the business is our people. Like, no people, no business, right? So we have to engineer future for our people, because the one thing we know to be true is when people run out of future, when they start to flatline and then they look at, you know, the next 6 weeks looks like the same as the last 6 weeks, then we're at risk. And so we have to create future for our people. And the best way to do that is build a career pathway system inside of your business so people come in and have a pathway to success. Yes. Like, we can't wait for the team members to come in and we're like, oh, I hope she's good and I hope she's successful and I hope that she, you know, grows a clientele.
Yeah.
Like, that's just, you know, you might as well be renting a chair.
Yes.
In that model.
Yeah.
So we have to create a system where people come and their future can live inside of our container.
Absolutely.
And what is it? What's in it for them? Like, I actually believe, is it okay to be controversial? I actually believe that, like, money does buy happiness. Like, it does buy lifestyle. It buys a new house. It buys a trip. And it gives us the things. Should happiness come from more than just that? Absolutely. There's more to happiness than just money. But both can coexist. And I think if we can give more to our people than they have more chance of having successful and happy lives.
Absolutely. I often think about, you know, one, like if I get better, if Joel gets better, I'm a better dad, I'm a better husband, I'm a better business partner, I'm a better leader. So how do I get better? I need to be in a room that can elevate me. How do I get in the room? Cost money. It costs money to get in the room. And I just think that's really, really important.
So then you need the money.
You need the money.
So you can get in the room so you can go up to get the money to be in the next room.
Yeah, yeah. Because a lot of people would say, oh, Larissa, you're doing so great. Or Joel, you're doing so great. It's like fantastic. It's like, we're just getting started.
Yeah.
You know, like we're looking for the next level. And part of getting that next level, there's a little bit of reflection that goes on. There's a few meetings that happen. But actually, we need to get in the room where there's other people that are playing the game at a higher level than us so that we can be inspired. Because you're so right. When people don't have a future, they'll go and find it somewhere else.
And so you want to do that for your team. Create the room inside of your business where they can see that there is more to life than their current reality or that they currently can imagine. Like imagine you were that person. So we need to create career pathways. We need to build future, have a really clear vision, not only for the business, but for each individual. And then the other one I think we need to nail is that we need to have a system where people can get paid really well.
Oh, love
this
that.
This industry does not pay people enough and we're losing too many great people. They get to the top, you know, they're doing three, maybe four, and if you're lucky, $4,500 a week. Mm. And that's the best that you can get. And it's like, and then we get upset when they come and ask for more money. It's like, actually, that's our responsibility. I believe we need to be paying people in this industry $100,000 a year in, you know, salary, commission, bonuses, and the whole career pathway structure. Mm-hmm. But like that should be the goalpost because we won't lose our good people if we can do that.
So that all sounds great, Riss, but like how, like is that even possible to pay someone $100,000?
It's definitely possible. There's a couple of key things. One, we got to get the mindset right.
Mm-hmm.
We call it the 100K mindset, like in the mindset probably of yourself as the leader, but the mindset of your team member. Mm. Are they thinking in the right way that it's even possible and that they want to play the game?
Every owner that's integrated that system, the feedback, I'm just going to summarize, it's like game changer.
Yeah, okay.
Huge, massive.
But you got to tackle the mindset.
Yeah,
because you tackle can't, the mindset. You can't make change if the mindset is...
Yeah,
of a poor mindset.
Absolutely.
Number two is you've got to invite them into the program, like invite them to come and play the game. We call it the 100K Club. And don't worry if people don't want to play it first, but when they start to see some of your team members winning and playing the game, and we can invite them into do that, then people are self-selecting. They're choosing to be part of it.
And they're empowered.
You don't have to crack the whip for motivation. It becomes... So we invite people.
What do people do in the 100K club? They behave like people that earn 100K. It's just, it's a beautiful thing.
Exactly. The 100K day really is about building, like, what does my day, my life, my column look like? How do I need to behave when I'm serving clients? Like, how do I behave as a 100K stylist or therapist? What does that look like? And those are the like the tactical on the ground and the column and the upgrades and the like, this is how we behave to get the result.
I've seen you coach people and share this with people, and that in and of itself can often be a bit of a change belief. Like people realize for the first time, oh, I could do it like that and it would create that.
Ah, different action, different result.
Yeah.
Because we can't keep doing the same things as like the old, this is how I do it is kind of like the beginning of the end, I think.
Yeah.
The last one actually is what we call the 100K client, and that really is if we want team members to perform at the top, then we actually need to curate not only the client experience, but the clients that our team serve. More five-star clients. We can't sit on the same clientele that we built as a third year. Like that's not going to get us to the top. That's not going to get us to be a master stylist or a master therapist earning 100K a year. So we actually have to curate that experience.
I think what I'm hearing listening to you, Riss, is that when you stack a few proven effective systems on top of each other that support one another, you don't actually need to go out there and change your belief or even the belief of your team, but actually realize that in stacking those systems, you're going to create results that are going to influence or create the belief that you need. The belief that we are, the belief that we can, and the belief that it's better and it can be better. So all things considered, I think when it comes to the success of your business, we are the problem, but we are also the solution.
And when we say we, not like we are the problem, you and me, Joel.
No.
As a business owner, like, we are the problem. And as a business owner, we are the solution.
Absolutely.
So if you need help re-engaging your team, like to really get a rocket up them and maybe even get a rocket up you, we work with 5 salon owners at a time, and we want to help re-engage the team, reimagine what's possible for them, for you, build 100K stylists, like they deserve to get paid well. We want to help you double your revenue. So if you're at 500K a year now and you want to get to the $1 million mark, can definitely help with that. But once you're at the $1 million mark, it's actually about optimizing for profit. The goal now is to double profit. You should get paid really well as an owner, just like Sophie, one of our owners that spoke in Fiji. So this is my invitation to book a strategy call. The goal of that strategy call is for me to learn about your salon, about your team, where are the pain points, what are the goals, what are the challenges, what are the aspirations. But in that time, I want to build a bit of a game plan. Like, if we worked together, what do we need to focus on? What would the game plan be over the next 12 months? And then I'll tell you if Salon Mastery or even the boardroom is the right fit for you. And I'll definitely be honest if it's not. And that's my invitation. Jump on a call. You know where to find the link. It's in all the places. You can't miss it. But I think outside of that, Joel, this is a wrap. This is a wrap for today. Till next time. Ciao for now.